Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayikra. And of course, the Parsha begins Vayikra Moshe, that he called out to Moshe. And in his introduction to the Sefer Vayikra, Ramban identifies the entire structure of the Sefer, from the Korban to the Tumah to the Arayos to the Korban to Shabbos and Yontif and the flow therein. Rav Nissen Alpert Zatzal noted that this is the beauty of Torah, namely that one topic flows naturally into the next. And the reason for all of this is that through the Torah there's a constant flow, all of which is to bring us closer to the Shekhinah. This is the central first message that we're supposed to take away from the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. We're told also in regard to the Karbanos, Emolah Karbano, that the pasa, the shechita of the carbon should be Asher Pesach Oal Moed. It should be brought to the door of the Oal Moed. Now, why was it important to highlight the doors to the Mishkan? What's the relevance? So, Bezalel Radinsky Shalita opined that the doors symbolize the takeaway of the carbon experience. When one realizes the purpose and the power of being close to Hashem and interacting with Him in the Mikdash, then the person becomes aware of primary purposes in life, and then he or she starts to walk differently in life. We have a different outlook, and then we figure things out. And it permeates not only the experience in the Mikdash, but also in his entire existence. We're also told that things should be set aside, reach nichoach, as a pleasant odor. And Rashi explains that the message over here is that you have performed Hashem's will, which brought Him pleasure. Rav Olba Zatzal notes that there are four types of mitzvos. Some are time-based, others apply all the time. There's a third group that are based on opportunity, like Hashabbos Aveda. But the fourth group are the mitzvos that man himself realizes that he needs to perform. It's not that the obligation is there all the time. It's not that the time causes the things to come, nor is it based on opportunity. It's a fact that I figure out that I owe something. Like, for instance, it's up to a person to know that he owes a carbon to Hashem. And when he is willing to understand that he has an obligation to Hashem, Hashem really appreciates that. That is a reach nichoach. You're thinking of me first, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the way you're supposed to function in life. However, we're told, right? That a person is not supposed to bring sourdough or honey as a carbon to Hashem. Why? What's wrong with sourdough and honey? The late, great Rosh Yeshiva Porat Yosef of Yehuda Tzedakah Zatzal explains that sourdough is reminiscent of sourness of people. Honey is reminiscent of the sweetness we show people. A person cannot be either always all sour or always all sweet when representing himself, and that's a fundamental that we need to think about. We're also told, Nefesh Kisechta Bishgaga, when a soul sins unintentionally. So the question has to be asked, if the soul sins unintentionally, why do you have to do an atonement? After all, you didn't mean to do it. So Moshe Soloveitchik of Zurich Zazal compared the situation to a person who was carrying cheap glass. It's expected that from time to time he might break some of it by accident. The opposite is true for the person carrying expensive crystal. Their extra care is taken not to have slippage and breakage. So when a person sees mitzvah opportunity as cheap glass, he or she needs to atone for that alone, which allowed the sin to happen unintentionally, which allowed situations to get out of control. Now, Imma Kohen HaMashiach Yachta L'Ashmasam, we're told if the Kohen Gadol sins to the guilt of the nation, so Rashi notes that when the Kohen Gadol sins, it is the guilt of the nation, because they depend on him to atone on their behalf. Now, the Ksav Sofer adds that in general it's understood that one who brings Zechus to the masses, Ein Chet Baal Yado, right, there shouldn't be any sin happen through him. And so, when the Kohen Gadol walks through life, he shouldn't have the opportunity. He shouldn't be able to sin. The only exception to that rule, says the Ksav Sofer, is if the people aren't letting him represent them due to their own level of sin. And so who is guilty in that situation? It's not just the Kohen Gadol, Ima Kohena, Mashiach Yechta, then it's La'ash Masa'am. For the guilt of the people, their own level of sin is what causes him to not be representative of them, and as a result, the guilt is on them too. We also talk about the fact that there are karbanos olah v'yorid, and when sometimes an individual is able to bring a chatas kavua, a chatas behema, and sometimes a person has to bring two birds. And losim sayado, if he can't go ahead and do one thing, then he goes to the second level. Now the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Chaf Beis Amar Aleph explains that the second bird is brought as an ola only during the day. And how do we know this? We learn it from Chatas Behema. Now the Gemara asks the question, why do you need to derive it from Chatas Behema if, as a carbon, an ola needs to be done by day? In fact, this question was so obvious that the Rashba amended the text and removed the lesson. But Rameir Simcha Davinsk suggested that the comparison is clear. Part of the atonement in the Chatas Behema is not just the fact that there's a chatas being brought on the Mizbeach, part of it is the fact that we bring a murim on the Mizbeach. The murim are brought at night. When it comes to a bird carbon, the bird doesn't have a murim because the bird is so small there's no way murim to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So where do you get the kapara of the murim? It's replaced by the olas ha'of. The fact that the second bird is brought, this is comparable to the emurim, to the body parts of the chatas behema that's brought on the mizbeach, and hence it was possible for one to think that this could be done at night because the emurim are brought at night. And for that, the Gemara asks this question and answer, and as a result, the answer makes sense. So Rav Shechter told us that after offering this interpretation, the Or Sameach or Meir Simcha Davinsk dreamt that in Shamayim the Rashba himself came and used this explanation, and the Rashba himself said that this is proof that there are Jews like the Or Sameach who still seek out and find truth in Torah, even things that are otherwise mistaken. We are living in incredible times where we are supposed to be looking for the truth in Torah, and we need to look up to our leaders to be able to help us find them. Finally, we read the Shabbos, we read the Haftorah in Yishayahu. Amzu yatzarti li tilasi apiru. I created this nation, right? So for what purpose? To sing my praises, to sing the praise li to me. Tilasi apiru. They should be able to sing the praises. And later on in the Haftorah, we're told ve'etna l'chayim Yaakov Yisrael gidufim. I gave Yaakov over for destruction and Yisrael for revolvement. Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal notes that once the aura of Kedusha is removed from the leaders of the Jewish people, then the enemies of the Jewish people don't hesitate to attack and vilify us. He used as an example the initiation of the boycott against Jewish businesses that began in Germany on Shabbos on April 1st in 1933. April 1st was a Shabbos. And the Germans thought that it wouldn't matter since Shabbos was the busiest day of the shopping week. And so if they started the boycott, the Jews would experience the boycott with all the slurs and the picketing and all the nastiness that was supposed to come. In fact, Rav Schwab tells us that this Haftorah was read that Shabbos. And he recalled remarking that if a Jew is willing to be Mechal al Shabbos, the greater shame was not the boycott, but the swift punishment that came about as a result. I don't know when I've been told by people much, much greater than me not to be looking for reasons for why tzaras come around us, especially as we sit isolated in our corona experience. But one thing we need to understand in our lives without a doubt is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does speak to each and every one of us, and we do need to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and we do need to use the opportunity not to continue to just walk through shriras libi with the simplest nature of our hearts. No, what we need to do is grow from our experiences. We need to know that we are a great nation, and we are going to handle this bump on the road, but we are going to hear the sound of the bump and make sure that we don't make the same mistakes again. May God protect each and every one of you. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect your families and all your neighbors and friends and all of Am Yisrael. And may we all swiftly experience a Shabbat Shalom to all.